Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn. I have Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. Okay, you guys
Hello,
ready?
Guys.
Are you guys ready
Dr.
for this?
J's.
The Dr. J's. Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that. That's very cool. The Dr. J's and Chris. So, we're gonna dive in the deep end here.
Okay.
Right from the very beginning. We're going to go into hot topic area. All right? So hot topic area right now is that we were discussing, because we had done a show earlier, and we really are seeing more and more, and this isn't new, but this is something that's been brewing in the air and getting louder and louder, is that there is a great divide and fear and anger that we're experiencing in our culture.
Right.
It is dividing families. It is dividing marriages. But really, it's actually dividing ourselves. Like our own, it's affecting our own souls in this pretty profound
way.
Well,
it's like on a hairpin trigger.
Yes.
When it comes up.
Yeah. And so we're all angry and we're frustrated and we're reactive. And if you believe this one thing, you're evil. And if you believe this other thing, then you're a good guy. And so as we're kind of in this atmosphere, what do we do with this thing of fear and anger?
Well, one, I take mine to the Holy Spirit, but also we were just talking about the importance of being able to have this duality, right? There is this part that might get reactive and you feel very strongly about your position and you want to push back, but we also have to remember love, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, love your neighbor as yourself. So on this hand, I'm loving myself. I'm being true to who I am and true to what I believe. And I'm also doing my own personal work to understand why I believe what I believe, why I respond the way I respond, why the things that are important to me are important to me. And at the same time, I recognize others have to be doing that same thing for themselves.
Right.
I can't control that, but I can love them because that's what God has called me to do, is to love them. And love doesn't look like cut off. It doesn't look like verbal abuse. It doesn't look like calling people stupid or crazy. No matter what we think, we might not agree with their choices, whether it's about vaccine or who should be president or what it means to be a Christian and what people do with their bodies. We don't have a say in what other people do with their bodies. We have a say in what we do with ours, and we want that to align with what Jesus has done with his.
Yes.
Right? And so sometimes that does mean sacrifice, but ultimately we love. Like,
well,
we got to keep coming back
to
love.
I think we have to put people over perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing, it's okay to be passionate, right? Because as we come into our own opinions and ideas, we're passionate. And we want to have a voice. And so we voice those things. But if you do that at the expense of others, if you forget that there's another person at the end of that perspective, right, then we've all lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so
it's easy to push back and fight and be mean or cruel to a perspective you disagree with.
Yes.
Because you've seen the perspective, but you've forgotten that there is a person in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And trying to get out of ourselves, it's not just about what I think, but being open. I mean, you really win people more when you listen
when
to
you
them
listen
than when you tell them all your points.
And you don't have to be afraid that by listening to them, you're going to lose what you believe.
Well, that's where people feel threatened.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So how strongly do you believe in what you believe if it can be taken away from you that easily?
Absolutely. And Jack, I think you mentioned something really important. We can hold a both-and approach and still hold to our own convictions.
Yes.
And so, and I've had a lot of conversations with people who have been hurt in and by the church.
Yes,
and
it's
there's
true.
A lot of
that's
that coming up right now, and I think it's good. And I always say this: if we're going to call out darkness, let's start with ourselves.
Yes.
right? If we're going to call it out, let's start with ourselves. Let God work on that and then see what happens, because we do want to be light, shining lights on a hill. If we can help you get there, if we can help you work through some of your anger, give us a call. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're going to go right to the phones. We're going to go to Linda in Virginia Beach, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM. Linda, are you there? Linda.
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Excellent. Yes. Glad you're here. How can we help you today?
It helps when the button's pushed.
Yeah,
right.
So talk to us.
I have this dear grandson of mine who happens to be within earshot right now. But anyway, he's 17, and he was scammed once, and we had a long talk. His parents did, I did, to explain to him why these people do this, and he just got scammed again. And so he's lost $800 now.
Oh, wow.
And we've been taking him... We've been taking him to work and back, so I drive 15 miles to go take him to work. And so, he's lost 2 months' worth of pay. And so, we don't know how to make him understand that you don't answer people who just email you and you never send people money.
Mm.
So that's what we thought. Maybe you guys knew for us to explain it to him so he understands.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me. Don't respond to people who are looking for money through email.
Well, that's a good guideline. Yeah. Yes. Well, does he understand or feel the impact of the lost money and how it was lost?
I tried to explain that to him, so does his mom, I can ask him, he's right.
Well,
here.
What makes it difficult for him to understand?
We don't know, because he's a smart young man, and he's very trusting, and perhaps that's his biggest flaw in our society today.
Okay.
Does he have anything going on where maybe he is inappropriate socially or doesn't get social cues and things like that? How is he?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So he may not feel this the way we would feel this. And so the conversation, rather than trying to tell him what happened and what you guys are feeling and make him understand it, you might have to spend more time talking with him and finding out how he understands it. Because he may see those messages as something he has to do, whether that's a compulsion that he has or whether that he feels like he needs to help and take care of these people and he can't understand the risk behind it. But I think there needs to be deeper conversation with him about what he's experiencing when he's reading these emails or getting these phone calls, because like I get a phone call and they say warranty something or another and I hang up because I know that I don't have a warranty that expired, right?
Right.
Social Security Administration or whatever the thing is that they're calling about. But he's 17, one, so he hasn't had a lot of life experience. So he doesn't know those things. He doesn't know those buzzwords and what to look for. But on the other side is, socially, he doesn't pick up cues when he's in the room with people talking to him. So he's going to have a hard time reading between the lines in something he's reading or hearing on a phone call. So he may need more support in terms of managing his finances. Mm-hmm. So somebody partnering with him with that for now.
Yes.
But again, keep in mind that he has
access.
Okay.
Well, and yes, as a way of learning, when there's something that he feels compelled to respond to, having a partner that he can say, okay, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think?
Yes.
Right? So that
we told them to do, but it didn't happen.
Okay.
Well, and Linda, I think what's really important is that we assume there's a few things that we assume, which is kind of crazy, is that kids will figure out sex and money. Right? You can't get worse assumptions than that,
right?
So our own lives are an example of that, right? These are things that we have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn over time. And, you know, why I think programs like what Dave Ramsey has and others and whatever fits, you know, your guys' values and perspectives is like, but we want to help him develop on stewardship and fiscal responsibility. So let's assume he doesn't know and needs help, and then we create the structures around him to help him as he goes along until it becomes his own.
Yes, he's got to be taught. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it, you know, it took some of us lots of years, a few decades even.
Uh-huh. Lots of lost money.
In different ways to figure these things out. And so this, you know, the scam is a common problem right now. And so that's the way he's losing his. But for some of us, it was payday loans. And for some of us, it was getting credit that you actually didn't need and couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. And so we go through this, unfortunately, through these growth pains, these growing pains as we're figuring things out in our life. Thankfully, he has you there to coach him.
Right. And you're saying he is smart. So, Chris, I really like your idea of start with teaching him. Teaching him what money's for, where it goes, having a budget. If he's got a budget, then giving money away is only a small percentage of that budget.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And something that he's willing to agree to.
And if he's a giver, and maybe that's in his heart to give and care for people, maybe working with him to find ways that he can give and so that he gets that benefit and meets that need in himself, but in a way that is actually healthy and healthy, and not a scam.
There are things that he can give to
that he can, you know, you put that passion towards and not be being scammed out of money.
Absolutely. That's good. And so, Linda, we want you to research some really good financial education programs, because, again, I find that people follow a program really, really well.
Well, yeah. Start with, I mean, if you like Dave Ramsey, he's got tons of free videos out there too that kids love videos.
Absolutely. We are also going to send you a copy of Understanding and Loving Your Child with ADHD. I got the book right here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can check that out, because if you give any gift of any amount in the month of August, we are going to send you a copy of Understanding and Loving Your Child with ADHD. And so I believe
it's good for impulsiveness too.
It's good. I'm getting a hint that her grandson may have some struggles with making impulsive decisions.
And any neurodivergence, the book will kind of speak to that and how to love that child with a neurological difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. So, Linda, thank you so much for calling in. And I just got to say this. I love hearing grandparents involved in their grandchildren's life. What an incredible gift that Linda is giving her children and her grandchildren. And with that, we are going to go to Alyssa in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'll get that out. Oklahoma. listening on KCFO. KCFO. So, my own ADHD. I love it. Yes. We need to write a book on understanding and loving your co-host.
Yes,
with ADHD. So, Alyssa, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little anxious about this.
Yeah.
My question was about.
That's okay.
It's okay.
My question was about how to know if you believe in Christ with your heart, because I know it in my head, but in my heart I don't know if he's real.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Alyssa, follow me really quickly here, okay? Can you hear my voice?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to take a deep... I want you to put your right hand on the center of your chest. And I want you to take a deep breath. Okay. I want you to hear my words.
Okay.
You don't feel okay, but you are okay. Okay? You don't feel okay, but you are okay. And then my next question is, what are you afraid of?
Well, I'm afraid that, like, I won't make it to heaven, or I won't be raptured, and I'll be left behind.
And what makes you think that?
Well, there's those verses in the Bible talking about believing with your heart, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure. So.
Do you have questions? Do you feel like maybe you're not believing because you have questions?
I do have a few questions, but it's like I don't know if Jesus is actually real.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I just need to see things for myself and like touch it. But
hey, Alyssa, you're in really good company. I am with you, friend, that we go through these doubts. We go through these insecurities. We go through these wonderings, you know?
Right.
Is this real? Is this thing, you know?
Just like doubting Thomas, right?
One of the followers who walked with Jesus doubted. Yes, but I also think the moniker of doubting Thomas is a little off. Because I think it was seeking Thomas. Because he didn't give up.
And so
he actually got to touch Jesus' wounds.
Because he sought that out.
Because he kept pursuing.
He wanted a more intimate situation. He wanted a more intimate connection and to experience him in a real and tangible way. And maybe that's what you're saying. And you can have that.
Yeah.
And still not feel like you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
You might have had some experience that at a certain point you were like, yeah, Jesus is real. And then now it feels far away from you again. And so now it's like, okay, well, is he really real? Yeah.
Well, and that's where a combination of then our faith, right? It's a step of faith. And knowing what we believe to be true, right? Along with the experience. It's not just having experiences that makes it true.
The knowing
is important. Grounded in the knowing.
Yeah, the knowing, because you know intellectually, you said, but it's sometimes your heart feels far away from him.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
And that is part of the walk.
That's
the Lord. We cannot sustain continual intimacy with God.
Yes.
We move in and out of that. We can't do it with people.
Right.
So we move in and out of that. Yeah. Connection and feelings of connection.
Yeah. I have friends who are atheists, and sometimes they say, you know, Chris, your faith is ridiculous. And I'm like, I hear what you're saying, but everything in this world is ridiculous. But I will admit this, my faith is audacious. Mm-hmm. And here's the audacity, is that, Alyssa, you're secure. You're fine. Jesus has you. That you're calling in today is just one gigantic reflection of how much he's got you. And your salvation is secure. You're good to go.
Yes.
And so the point is Jackie and I were actually talking this in between shows today, and that is, you know, there is this verse at the beginning of the fifth chapter of Galatians, and it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Amen.
It's kind of a play on words, but it's this idea that, listen, as we come into Christ, as we confess him with our mouths, as we believe in him, now he's in this continual work of freeing us up from the fear of condemnation.
Yes.
You know, it will still be with us, and we're going to still work that out. We're going to keep working that out, but just know that it is his work in you, not where your heart condition feels like it is today.
Right.
Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's there with you, and he's hearing you. And whenever you are having these doubts and you seek him out and you're seeking out answers to these questions, you're reaching for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what he wants.
That's
what he ultimately wants. Yeah. We can't do it without doing that, right? And your default position, Alyssa, may always be fear. And so that's a sign for you, okay, I got to go and put my eyes on Jesus when I start to be afraid.
Well, and I'm going to address why you really called in today, Alyssa. You ready for this? I just have a little bit because we're going to spend a little bit of time with you after the break. You really called in today because you grew up in a home where love was withheld from you. Where you weren't cared for and your needs weren't attuned to and you weren't loved unless you did stuff for other people. It was always conditional. And so you live with this condition of, will it ever be enough?
Mm-hmm.
And what we want you to experience is God's grace to say it's already enough, no matter what it is.
Already enough. Just the acceptance.
Absolutely.
Is enough. Everything after that is thank you and growth.
Yep. That's really good, Jackie. We're going to go to a break right now. And Alyssa, we'll come back to you right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We've been talking with Alyssa and just really struggling with a lot of fear and anxiousness around feeling secure in her salvation and her relationship with Christ. And I think, you know, what we all commonly experience is, you know, something in our mind that says yes and something in our heart that says, I don't know. And sometimes it could be the other way around, and sometimes it can be the whole thing. And you know, if Thomas is our example, we can keep going and keep going and not give up on that. So Alyssa, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in today. I had mentioned something before the break. I'd kind of dropped a heavy one. And that is, it just sounds to me like you just grew up in a home where you had to perform to be okay.
Which is so common.
It is common. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the gospel that we believe in so contrary. Mm-hmm. Because
it's so hard to believe.
It is. It is.
We could just be forgiven.
It's counterintuitive. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
And so we want you to be able to experience freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stay on the line. We want to connect you with a therapist there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're also going to send you a copy of How We Love. I think that will really open up some greater understanding on how we really connect to other people, how we connect to ourselves, even how we connect with God. I also want to send you a Life Recovery Bible, because I think that going through that parallel process in the Life Recovery Bible will help you out a lot. So, Alyssa, thank you so much for calling in today. I want to go right back to the phones, and I want to go to Judy in Sugarloaf, Pennsylvania. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Good to talk to you today. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I'm calling because I have three adult children that have anger issues, anxiety issues, and I'm married to an alcoholic and a narcissist who's constantly putting everybody down. He keeps talking to you and picking at you and picking at you until you lose control, and then he thinks it's funny. And he always just putting everybody down. My children are all bright. They're honor students. They never say any curse words. You know, they're very good in college, but my one daughter has severe social anxiety. Mm-hmm. My other daughter has anxiety, and my son has anger issues. And I didn't know what to do.
Oh, well, it all makes perfect sense. As you described your husband, what your children are experiencing really sounds in line with exactly what you described. And there's this thing called adult children of alcoholics. And so adult children of alcoholics carry around a lot of internal anxiety and stress, which of course can turn itself into anger and frustration. And a lot of other things, a lot of other negative coping mechanisms. So it's great that your children know how to do well, but your children don't know how to be well. Right?
No.
Yeah.
No, because my one daughter, she's a graphic designer, and she constantly putting herself down. She said she's
yeah.
She's ugly, nobody needs her, and that's the exact opposite.
So what's the question for us today, Judy? How can we help you?
I didn't know where to start, how to help them. I know they had Change Your Life, or there was some kind of a conference they just had on the 14th. I didn't know if that was appropriate, and I said, I don't even know what to do or how to start to get them help.
Yeah.
The
Emotional Freedom Workshop would be great. We just did it this a couple weekends ago, but we back on the 14th, but that will be coming back around. But Jackie, how do we help her?
I think I was thinking of a question. Are any of them in therapy?
Pardon me?
Are any of them seeing therapists?
No. No one's seeing therapists.
That would be a good place to start, is helping them find a therapist and even just making that okay. If that's not something that's been common in your family, to kind of reduce the stigma around seeing a therapist and just offering. Sometimes colleges have therapists on campus that their students can see. So if they're living away at campus, they're probably someone they can talk to. But we also have resources here that we could connect them with as well. But I think that that's they need to talk with someone. They need some healing. They maybe have had some interpersonal trauma over their life of being with their alcoholic father who's a narcissist who, you know, maybe made fun of them. And some of this social anxiety is coming out of this negative belief that they have now. They need someone that they can talk with on a regular basis and work through it. I also think How We Love would be helpful to help them understand how they got to the point that they are. Since they can't do emotional freedom for a while, maybe the workbook, they could start working through those things, or she could start working through those things for herself.
Judy, are your kids asking for help?
Well, my one son, he had terrible anxiety. I mean, there's some days that he couldn't eat, or he'd up and he'd eat, and then he'd throw everything up. He couldn't go to work. He's jumping from job to job. There was a big blow-up in the house last night because my husband started picking on him. And my son even told him, he said, there's nothing. He's never, ever commended me on anything. Nothing's right regardless what he does.
Do you think your children would be willing to go to therapy?
Yes.
Excellent. And I think it's really important that you start looking up the resources around adult children of alcoholics. Mm-hmm, yes. It's going to start making a lot of sense for you, and especially for your children, of what they're experiencing on the inside based on what they've been experiencing in the family. So, Judy, we got to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're on the phone with Jean. And Jill, you had something for Jean.
For Judy.
Judy.
Yes. So
Judy.
We're talking to Judy with her three adult children with anxiety issues. Judy, I think sometimes the best way to help our kids is that we have to start with us, and we have to start helping ourselves, because then we show them that it's actually possible and that it's okay. You are in this position with this alcoholic, narcissistic husband, and you're trying to help the kids, and it's like you're all victims to him, but it's still happening. It's still going on, and there needs to be some changes. Maybe it's time your kids need to leave the home, right, and be away from the abuse. I think for you to get into some therapy, for you to go to the Emotional Freedom Workshop, for you to attend Al-Anon as well. Yeah. To get your own help so you can start saying no to this husband and no to the abuse.
And as you're doing that work for yourself, you'll start to learn things that you can share with your children and model new behaviors for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to reflect.
Now I've got emotional freedom online. Oh, go ahead. Is that something that's online? It was, and I'm not sure what the next one.
We don't have it scheduled yet, but I want you to keep an eye out for it because it will be coming back around. You know, but what we're going to do for you right now, Judy, is we're going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook, and so that you can begin to start on that process. We're going to send you two resources, and that's also Take Your Life Back. Okay, and so. As Jill was saying, Judy, the more you get into your own work, that's what's going to communicate loudly to your children. But as Jackie was saying as well, we want to get your children the help that they need. Let's get them into therapy. Let's get them into their own work so they don't have to keep carrying this internal suffering around inside of them.
Yeah,
so
that way they can hand down wellness.
Exactly.
Right. Because they're right. They're saying the right things. It's never going to be enough for someone who doesn't want it to be enough, for someone who's invested in staying unhealthy.
Yes. Exactly. So in studio right now, we have Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Chris, I just want people to understand why I come to this mic and seek support. I want to read you one lady wrote to us. She said, I just want to let you know how much your ministry has helped me. A few months ago, I was struggling in an abusive marriage. I was going through the worst depression of my life, feeling like I had nowhere to turn. I always listened to your program on my lunch hour while sitting in my car. I heard you say, if you need a Christian counselor in your area, to contact you. I did and found an excellent Christian counselor who's helped me and my two daughters through the two most devastating events of my life. My marriage of 19 years finally ended, and the very painful, tragic loss of my father in a car accident. I never give to big ministries, but your ministry has helped my life and the lives of my children so directly that I'm happy to give your ministry to your ministry so that you can be around to help others like me.
Mm.
So folks, help us to help others like her. If you would just continue with your support, if you've never given, first-time giver, I challenge you, stop the car, call, pick up the phone, you know, whatever you have to do, call, make that first gift. It'll make a difference. And thank you, everybody who has been giving.
Yes, thank you, Larry, for the way in which you guide the ship incredibly well. Thank you for partnering with us. And to continue doing this work, we're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Eddie in Colton, Maryland. Listening on WAVA, W-A-V-A. Colton, are you there? Eddie, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Talk to us.
I just really wanted to thank you guys for all the work you guys has been doing, helping so many lives across the country. I am a devoted Club New Life donor.
Oh, thank you, Eddie. Thank you.
But I just had a quick encouragement. I don't want to take up too much time because I know a lot of people have a lot of needs. But I just want to encourage a lot of the marriage couples out there. I was married in 1996. You know, I was living with my wife to be at the time, and we got married, and she started going to church, and she had an affair on me.
Mm.
Had a baby, got pregnant,
oh,
had
wow.
a baby. So I watched my wife have a baby by another man in the hospital.
Wow.
I got through that through a lot of men in the church who really came alongside me. The pastor, you know, he met with us both and, you know, gave us counseling, told her he's not going to disfellowship her or me, but asked her, did she want to be involved with these people anymore? She said no. And, you know, we had five kids at the time. Mm. And he said, Eddie, I don't know what going to happen, but if you stay with this woman, God will bless you down the road. And this, you know, if you leave her, where's the light going to be? So, you know, that was easy to hear at the time, but a lot of the men in the church were telling me stay with her, when I had a lot of family members telling me you need to divorce her. I had so many voices coming to divorce her because of what she did, because, you know, when she hurt me, she hurt people that love me. So it was, you know, I give it all to the pastor and the men. Yeah, I encourage every Christian man to stay in fellowship with men because they were the ones that helped me walk through that storm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got through that. The kid's 21 years old now, but that was my first trial. Then she passed away on 2009. from stage 4 cervical cancer, and I had 5 kids all under the age of 13.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And I had to put her on hospice.
So Eddie, it sounds like God has guided your process through some incredibly challenging and painful experiences. What's one thing that you would want listeners to know today?
I would say the one thing is, you know, trust God. Keep people around you that keep believers around you that can encourage you, because we can't see everything, and we need people around. We need strong, healthy Christian brothers. If you're a man, keep strong, healthy men around you. And if you don't have, get involved in a church. Get involved and get into a group. And I would say that same thing for women. Get with some healthy women, Christian women, that, you know, you can rub each other's back, you know, because we can't see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need our brothers in Christ and sisters.
No,
we do.
So,
Amen.
Eddie? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eddie, all right? I want you to hear this, okay? You are a leader, and we desperately need your leadership, okay? Like, because you have gone through the school of God's experience, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, especially through the relationship of other men, through our relationship with each other, which the Bible refers to, Paul refers to as the body of Christ. We're missing that message way too much in our lives. There's too much isolation that provides a petri dish for all kinds of different problems in our lives. And you have found the solution.
And the funny thing is, when she was, I had to put her on hospice, and when before she died, she told me, she said, you know, I think you were too good for me. I didn't deserve you. And I said, no, I don't deserve. I'm a sinner. I consider myself the worst sinner out here, and I don't deserve God's grace. So I just trying to encourage her, you know, during her last days on hospice. But
sounds like encouragement is your gift.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's your gift.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Eddie, here's what we're going to do is we are going to send you a copy of Living Strong, Finishing Well.
Oh, yeah.
And Living Strong, Finishing Well was Dr. David Stoops' last work.
Mm-hmm.
Last work of incredible generosity he's giving to us before he left us to spend eternity with Jesus. So we're going to send you a copy of Living Strong, Finishing Well. And Eddie, if there's any way that we at New Life can keep encouraging you in your ministry, keep encouraging you as you encourage other people in the health and vitality of Christ, you know, please let us know. And thank you so much for calling in today. We greatly appreciate hearing that, and we're going to be cheering you on. And Eddie mentioned something I think is really important, and that is all of our marriages are going to go through very difficult times, challenges, because two human beings with issues are going to show up.
Right.
And so it is important that we engage in that work. There is an Intimacy in Marriage workshop coming up October 15th through the 17th in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be in person. And this will be a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity to work on the most important earthly relationship that you have, and that is with your spouse. So if you're married, you may find yourself in a good spot, and you just want to get better, and you want to keep it growing and keep improving, this is for you. You may find your marriage in a really difficult spot. You may find your marriage in crisis. You may have lost almost all hope, or all hope, but you want to hold on to that one sliver. This is for you. And you will walk through these doorways to figure out much better, much more intimately, much more healthy, how to have a healthy marriage. So, Intimacy in Marriage Workshop, check that out. Register online, www.newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams in studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, and we want to get to a final call today. We're going to get to Sam in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on our app. Sam, are you there?
Yeah. I'm one of these highly sensitive people. And I grew up in a kind of a violent background, etc. I just came through a depressive episode. And what can I do to make things more solid so that I don't have to be too concerned about getting into one of these depressive things again?
Mm-hmm.
Sam, did you feel like you got into this depressive thing because you felt off kilter? You're saying make things more solid. Are you feeling overwhelmed by your sensory experiences? And then you just shut down, maybe?
I'm feeling overwhelmed by my birth mother, who's not exactly the healthiest. I love her, but, like, she'll want to do stuff, and then she'll, like, just can't do it,
okay.
You know.
So,
and I've run into this before.
So when you're with her, are you feeling overwhelmed and wanting to, like, get away? Like, you want to be there, you want to be with her, but whatever is going on, just there's just too much emotion for you with your highly sensitive nature?
Like, I care very deeply for people and for the things they do. See, I'm also totally blinded individual. Lost my sight. What little sight I had, I lost it at 23.
Oh, wow.
And so I went through that along with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got through that by the grace of God. And, like, she'll be like, do you want to do a garden with me? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to. You know, I don't mind doing the work. I don't mind doing the hands-on stuff because she can't. But then it's like, well, she can't cope with her life, so it all gets shattered, you know? And then I get caught in the blast from it. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. It's like stepping on a landmine emotionally.
Yeah.
So it's difficult when you want to be in relationship with people, but their issues, their emotions overflow onto you, and it sounds like as a sensitive person, you have a hard time keeping that out and staying separate from them. And
shielding from it.
Yes, the goal is to be able to be in relationship, but to be a separate individual and not to merge with another person's feelings or issues. And just naturally as women, we can experience things vicariously. Someone else is going through something and we experience it. And certainly as a highly sensitive person, that would happen a lot. So sometimes it's defining what's mine and what's not mine. What's mine to deal with and to mm-hmm. fix, and what is not mine. And while we can feel for another person, we need to take a step back and allow that person to deal with their emotions and their issues. And sometimes we even have to leave the room
and
go for a walk, separate ourselves momentarily to regroup. Yeah. And hold on to ourselves and say, I can still care about this person mm-hmm. without taking on everything that's theirs.
Imagine that when you're with her and things start to implode, that she shared a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with you. You now have peanut butter and jelly. She has peanut butter and jelly. But she gave it to you. It was hers. Those aren't your emotions. They're hers. It helps you understand what she's feeling. You're experiencing maybe what they're experiencing inside, but you have to remember that that's their experience. It gives you a guide on how to pray for them. It gives you a guide on how to respond to them, but keep in mind that that is their stuff. So you have a little container outside of yourself so you can be with them and they can share with you and those things go in the container, but you're not internalizing those things and trying to figure out how do I fix this for them, because it's not necessarily yours to fix. You're empathizing.
Right.
Right. Well, to follow your analogy, you don't have to eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich just because someone has given it to you.
Yes, exactly.
You can say, I'm not interested in peanut butter and jelly today.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. How do you kind of keep yourself separate from that? Just making sure you remember that you can,
mm-hmm.
right? You can keep yourself separate from that. And that doesn't mean you're not in relationship and you're not loving them and you're not wanting to be with them. Sometimes we have to hold that bit of shield there, that emotional shield, especially as HSPs, mm-hmm. so that we can continue in relationship with people, especially the people in our lives who maybe are a little more difficult for us to be with as HSPs. We need to hold some margin for ourselves. Put your mask on first. Make sure you are all shorn up before mm-hmm. those encounters, mm-hmm. right? If you're not well rested and well fed and hydrated, you might not have the same level of tolerance.
Do some self-care.
To do certain things. And so make sure you're in the right frame of mind before you say yes to an encounter like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, I'm going to do one other thing for you today. Okay, ready? So HSP, a highly sensitive person, I like to have this one phrase for you, okay? That doesn't work for me.
That doesn't work for
me. Wow.
Okay. So say it after me. That doesn't work for me.
That doesn't work for me.
Perfect.
Good.
And now drop it 2 inches in your body and say it again.
That doesn't work for me.
I heard that loud and clear.
Yeah.
Well and I'm going to be okay with you telling me that because that's my work to do. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, I learned something a couple months ago, maybe a month ago at a conference. If someone's okay with your yes, they need to be okay with your no.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to write this phrase down, man. I got to trail this fucking out. Keep it on my bathroom mirror, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sam, you're doing the work. This is great.
Learning to set boundaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I know exactly what set off the depression. I'm in the process of getting a new sleep apnea mouthpiece.
Mm.
And I've been on antidepressants since I was 16.
Mm.
And I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with it. But we had an unidentified individual come to the door a couple Thursdays ago. And the way my dog responded, I thought it was the postal carrier.
Mm, yeah.
Well, the dog was right. She was 100% right on the money. But the guy freaked me out because he stood on the very edge of the top step or on the top step of the porch, you know?
Well, Sam, let me jump in because we got like 1 minute left before we're wrapping up the show. So first thing I want you to be able to do, obviously, is take care of yourself. And we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries as well as Take Your Life Back. You're going to have both of those books. They're going to help you go through it. I want you to get into some therapy because you're carrying a lot of anxiety and fear and pain from your background. Mm-hmm. I really believe that you have what I call anxiety-induced depression. Mm-hmm. And depression really is a lack of energy. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, what is stealing our energy? What's ripping away? And anxiety rips away our energy. So for those of you who struggle with depression and know that anxiety is on the other side of it, we want to find relief from both of those things. So get into therapy. Let's all do our work and let's make this a safer, better world. Thank you guys so much for being here today with me. Thank you, listeners. And again, any way we can help you, please let us know. Also, Life Recovery Today, check it out on WRB Network.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.